WildTalkRadio.com. Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
That was a home run for dramatic impact. The follow-up, I hope, is as dramatic. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211 chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen, you can use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop or Lin's Emerald, because we are hashtag Epic Partners. Yeah, that's how we're opening the show. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay.
I'm trying not to cry right now.
All right, so there's a lot. You have an echo? Why do you have an,
is the echo gone?
Is the echo gone?
I don't know. No. Maybe. Hold. Okay, now I think it's gone.
Okay, didn't touch a thing. Anyway, so just kind of my hands were all not touching the thing. So Monday Night Raw.
Yay, Discord.
Monday Night Raw had many different things. We had people leaving groups, surprise returns, but the big story of the night is how Monday Night Raw ended. After many weeks of teases through social media and little QR codes on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and NXT and PLEs, the group to honor Bray Wyatt has debuted on Monday Night Raw, led out by what we assume was Nikki Cross, as what Abigail, a version of, I guess, Abigail of some sort, reincarnated.
Abby the Witch.
Along with the other Funhouse members, reincarnated. Played by a variety of people, including Eric Rowan, Joe Gacy.
One was Dime Store Bray Wyatt.
One's Joe Gacy, one was Eric Rowan with the, I think he was rambling with the help mallet.
Yeah, I think so.
And I forget, Dexter Lumis is the other one. And then the crowd, so they played the music we opened with the show with, and they just ding, ding, ding the entire time. As a massacre occurred backstage, so Nikki Cross crawled out of the door towards the lantern, fireflies everywhere, and then you're taken throughout the back, and you see this all mass destruction, bodies laid everywhere, including Chad Gable.
There was blood, there was just flickering lights, it was something straight out of a horror movie.
They completely destroyed everything back there, which well done by them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bo Taylor, whatever you want to call him, Uncle Howdy, strolled out to end Monday Night Raw. Fans erupted. The group appeared next to him, and they're here. They're officially a part of Monday Night Raw. It was a Grand Slam introduction.
The production value on this was phenomenal. Like, just absolutely off the charts. Knocked it out of the park in terms of the presentation. Like, this is how you introduce something like this, because it is a straight horror gimmick. And if it's one of those things that it's all about the first impression with something like this. And they did it absolutely perfectly. Like I said, it was something out of a fucking horror movie. It was dark. The fog machines were going. Like, the whole backstage was flooded with fog. You had blood everywhere. You had people laying on the ground like they'd been beaten up. Like, the whole, like Rock said, the whole, like, gorilla area, there were flickering lights and, like, sparking electricity. And just, you had this really, like, ominous feeling through the whole thing, because you get it, like, as you're almost going through, like, a horror house, like a haunted house kind of thing, where you walk in through the door, although we walked around the house, and then we walked backstage and kind of followed this just trail of carnage until we met Uncle Howdy. And it was a really just incredible way to do this. Like, because I will be the first to admit, I have had reservations about this. I've been really, 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 really hesitant with this, because it hurts. And it hurt. I will be the first to admit that it hurt to see the door and hear the music again, because it's like, oh God, I'm not ready for this. Like, I've been kind of dreading this all day, because it's like, if this goes wrong, this is going to be very painful. It didn't go wrong. It absolutely did not go wrong.
Nope.
I'm willing to give it a chance. Am I in love with it? Not yet, but I am willing to give it a chance. Let's see what they do with it. But in terms of the introductory presentation, in terms of how this all went, they could not have done a better job if they tried. They really, truly couldn't. Like, the costumes, the look, the feel, just the ambiance, the whole thing was so well done. It was so well executed. It's the perfect way to introduce this group and just leave that really lasting impression. And the only thing you can say is, God, this is what Wyndham would have wanted. This is exactly, he would have been all about this.
Because
he just would have been all over it.
It's his ideas.
Yeah.
You can tell it is. The characters are his ideas, things he created, the concepts he's thought up, because he's always been thinking and always thought of things. And they told it in the documentary. We're going to do something to honor him. And that's what they're planning on doing. They're taking his vision. It's not going to be supernatural. This is horror. They're not going to have superpowers like some people thought they would. This is going to be more grounded in semi-reality, I think.
But that's kind of what I feel like the Wyatt family was really always supposed to meant to be.
Yes.
The Fiend is kind of an exception to all of that, because the Fiend belongs really to the COVID era and what they had to do in the COVID era. So the Fiend is the exception to really what the original, like, point and purpose of the Wyatt family was, which it was very much supposed to be grounded in horror. Like, we all remember the Wyatt family introduction, if we saw it, which was you went out to the farm and you saw the cult, and they even carried the continuity that the cameraman just never came back. Like, they don't know what happened to that guy.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things that Brace gimmicks were always grounded in horror, and that's what made them very different, very unique to WWE, is you didn't have anybody else in the company really doing it and doing it on his level. Because what made it special was it wasn't just scary, it was psychological. There was so much thought and intent and purpose behind everything he did. Every little thing, every little gesture, every little tick, every word meant something, or close to. And that's what made it so special.
He did the Bray hand gesture as he was doing things, as he was walking. They brought the lights down like they did for Bray's return back a couple years ago. At this point, they did everything right in terms of presenting this as something. So Monday Night Raw ended with a qualifying match for the Money in the Bank. It was Jey Uso, Finn Balor, and Rey Mysterio And it ended like 9 minutes early. And they're just, Jay headed to the Money Bank. You had Braun Strowman interfere, Dominic interfere, all Judgment Day, etc. Everyone got involved. They all got chased away. Jay won. He celebrated in the crowd. And then the lights came down. And we're just sitting here waiting. We were waiting for it to happen. Because you're like, okay, you got time. You got 9 minutes. What are you going to do? And then they did the whole presentation. So it was like, they didn't debut it at 9:20 in the show. They didn't do it at 10:30. They didn't do it in the dead spots. They put it on in the main event. There's belief in the company that this could be something really big, and they want to do this right. Debuting it like that, massacre of producers and bodies laid out, Chad Gable laid bloodied, that was the right approach. Is this going to be for everyone? No. Are there going to be people who hate on it? Yes. But I say this, let's see what they do with it, because we know what it's about. It's a tribute to Bray Wyndham, and they are going to honor his legacy. What they do and how they interact and who they go after and the story they tell over the next few weeks and months will be key. Because I don't think this is going to be a long-term group, because I think there's a beginning, middle, end point with it, because you can't do this forever. But I say
no.
There's longevity to it in the short term.
The key in it is how they evolve it, how they build each individual character. That will really be key, because obviously, like, what gave the Wyatt family legs was obviously, because that's the only comparison I really have, is, and the Firefly Funhouse legs as well, is that they were able to sort of evolve it and change it. And that was, I think, in a large part due to Bray and just how he always looked at things and thought of things. And that's where, again, that's what made him very unique, is he kind of took that lesson from Taker. And it's like, I always have to keep moving. I can't rest on what I'm doing. I have to keep changing the look, the appearance, you know, the look, the feel, the whatever, how I say things, how I do things, like just continue to keep it fresh and keep it top of mind, because the evolution of the character is what gives it the longevity. Taking it past the original idea and the original concept is what gives it the longevity. So this, yes, does it have legs? Absolutely. I feel like they could probably get at least to Mania with it, depending on how they build it. Do I think they're going to get years out of it? I don't know. I don't think so, but it all depends on how they evolve it. Because the trick is, obviously, this is the first introduction. It's absolutely fantastic. They're all in masks. They're all like looking just badass as hell. It's how you tell the story. With them.
I'm going to stop you right there. They are officially the Wyatt Six. S-I-C-K-S. That is their name.
So they're sickos?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to. I'm trying because to try, it, so I had to.
But that's the name of the group. Because the merch tweeted out the name. Because there's new shirts available at WWEshop.com.
Okay, so I have a picture. So Nikki's obviously Nikki. She's Abby. I think Loomis was Mercy. Yes. Eric is Ramblin'. Yes. And then who was the other one?
Joe Gacy.
Fake Bray Wyatt is Huskus.
Yes.
Yeah,
so they're the Wyatt Six. There's a logo and everything. It's with the phrase "Let us in." So that's cool. Yeah.
I also like the nice touch that they had, like, for at least Mercy and Howdy, that they had the hair similar to Bray's.
Yes, because they're like versions of Bray.
Yeah, but it's just, there's a lot of like really nice subtle touches in this. Like, I would be curious to see the full costumes once we get them, to see what they look like. But this was just chef's kiss in terms of an introduction. Like, you can tell that they believe in this and they're behind this. And yeah, let's see what they do with this. Like, I have full faith and confidence, because it's Hunter booking it.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the real key, because that was always kind of the problem with Bray, was how he was booked, because he could do these fantastic visuals, they could do these great introductions for him, but in the end, like, his booking was always kind of, like, really questionable as the cult leader, and then when he reinvented himself as the Fiend, they obviously booked him much stronger than what they did as the cult leader. And then everything kind of went to hell from there. But so it's, if they book them properly, this is going to be something to see. If nothing else, it's an attraction. which brings eyeballs to the product.
Yes, for sure. We will be covering this more as time goes on, because there's going to be a lot to talk about and break down in the days and weeks ahead, because there's going to be a lot of coming out of it and be like, huh, I hope everyone gives it a chance.
Yes, please give it a chance.
That's the best I can say. But moving on, as mentioned, Money in the Bank is in 2.5 weeks or 2 weeks from Saturday, live on the Peacock and the WWE Network. So we have qualifying matches. As mentioned, Jey Uso advances and is headed to Money in the Bank. But on the women's side, Io Sky is headed to Money in the Bank as she defeated Kiana James and Zelina Vega. You had Liv Morgan interfere because earlier in the night, as they were getting ready for things, Dom was like, where's my vest? He's looking for his vest. It appears that one Liv Morgan had his purple vest that they talked about. But Io Sky is headed to Money in the Bank, which is cool. And Jey Uso is heading to Money in the Bank as well. Two big names in both Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah. And these are really good matches.
They were. The story about Dom's vest continued throughout the night.
You know, props to Damian Priest, who's like these goddamn kids.
He would end up putting an end to it, but Carlito took on Dragon Lee. This is where Liv showed back up again in the vest as Dom was out there. Zelina Vega get back involved? So we're heading towards a Liv Morgan Zelina Vega match. That should be fun. But Carlito defeated Dragon Lee. And then there was the final straw in the thing of Dom found Liv once the vest back. She's like, well, the only way you can get it is by taking it off of me. And he starts unzipping it, and that's where Damien stepped in and is like, uh-uh, this ain't happening. He put his foot down. It was revealed that Finn Balor got rid of the card, and, you know, he did it for Dom. Vince goes, Balor, I feel like Balor's behind all this. He might be. You never know. But I liked it. Whether you like Liv or whatnot, the fact that they're telling a story throughout the night on Monday Night Raw, keeping you interested and hooked, is really good storytelling that they're doing.
Yeah. No, this was... I'm still not a fan of this, I will fully admit, but I like how they're progressing the story. I like how they're telling the story that you... Now that Becky's out of the story, obviously it makes more sense.
Yes.
So we'll see what they do with it.
Kayden and Katana beat Dakota and Kairi, and afterwards... He was like, we got to make some changes. If things don't change, she'll make the changes herself. Lyra Valkyrie got involved to even up the odds. So we'll probably get a 6-woman tag here in the near future out of it all.
I'm fine with all of that. Just, yeah, do it. Give it to me, please. Thank you.
Alba and Isla were being interviewed, talked about winning the belts. Shane and Zoe got involved and like, hey, you know, we're going to focus on Money in the Bank, but guess what? After that, we're coming for your belts, because, you know, I kind of made Jade tap, kind of, maybe. So, they're coming for the belts eventually.
Eventually, but not right now.
Not right now. So, the big focus on this show was Chad Gable. And then everything that was going on with him. So, he had a match with Braun Strowman. He lost. Afterwards, he was mad and upset, and he got pissed at Maxine and Akira and Otis. And he slapped the Tozawa and all these things. And then Otis had enough. He got in the way. He stepped up to him. Shoved him down. Shoved Chad Gable down. Gable begged off. He picked up... he helped Maxine and Tozawa back up. And like, hey, we're done. He walks away. And then Sammy was cutting a promo and basically said something. We'll get more to Sammy promo in a second. Hopefully Otis makes the right decision and finally leaves the group. Later in the night, Chad goes up to Otis in the locker room and he goes, where are you guys going? And he's like, I'm out. I'm done. We're leaving. And the three of them walked off, leaving Chad Gable alone, who later on got laid out and destroyed and beat up. Well, the thing left for dead. But in that moment, he lost his Alpha Academy. He's like, you can't quit. I quit. I'm leaving you guys, etc. But he said the one thing he would do is win Money in the Bank and do something Otis failed to do and cash in and successfully become the world champion.
I know a lot of people were bitching about the turn on Otis because of how little or how subtle it was. Because everybody was like, that's it. That's all he's going to do. He's not going to beat down Chad Gable. Yes. Because that's all he needs to do is push back on Chad Gable, push him away, finally have enough and say, we're done. And he takes Maxine and he takes Tozawa and he leaves. And then you have Gable later in the back begging and kind of pleading with them to, you know, and talking to them and that kind of thing. And they just leave. They're like, we've had enough of you. We're sick of your shit. We're going. We're going to go do our own thing. You do you, bud. And that was the way this really needed to end for right now, because you're building the story between Gable and Otis.
Yeah.
And you're building and you're building and you're building that. And again, having Maxine in white, that was the right call because you had Chad picking on her. And she's obviously being portrayed as the weaker female, and Chad's, you know, taking her crutch and throwing it away and making her leave the ring with a hurt foot without her crutch, right? And he's not letting Tozawa or Otis help him. And then he's slapping Tozawa down and that kind of thing. And, you know, basically he's bullying the two weaker ones and he's trying to bully Otis. And Otis is like, no. So I liked how they did this. I liked how they told this story. And Gable got his comeuppance in another way later. So,
which leads to this tweet from Kathy Kelly. Chad's been playing victim for months, but now he actually is one. Crying emoji.
I'm going to raise my water bottle to that because true. but yeah, this was the perfect follow-up to Clash at the Castle, where you wrote Sami Zayn out of this story altogether. And now it's between Chad and Otis. And now you're building that story between Chad and Otis. So I liked how they did this. I liked the subtlety of this because they have somewhere to go, right? Like now it's Otis and Maxine and Tozawa have to figure out what's next. They've thrown off the bully for right now, but where do they go next? Do they stay together? Do they split apart? Like what happens from here?
Yeah.
And then depending on what's going on with Gable, he can come back in the picture at some point and try to maybe weasel his way back in.
Speaking of Sami Zayn and the Intercontinental Championship, he came to the ring. As mentioned, we did all the Gable stuff. We talked about that. But he's looking forward to defending the title against anyone and everybody, which brought out Bron Breakker. Breakker talked about, you know, he didn't have to say much because Zayn knows what he's there for and what he's capable of, and that's becoming the Intercontinental Champion. Talking about all the bodies he left. Breakker said Zayn is next on his list because I'm taking the Intercontinental Championship. Zayn was like, if this was what you want. But before he could, Sheamus was like, hey, I've been chasing that belt for 5 years. I want my shot too. Please give me an opportunity. Breaker's like, no, you shouldn't get one. No one cares about your sob story. Breakker says everyone knows what's going to happen when you're in his way. He would kick Sheamus' ass. They started bickering some more. Zayn's like, I'm going to go speak to Adam Pearce. Make a match between the two of you tonight. Which did happen. It was Bron Breakker versus Sheamus in a hell of a match between the two men.
God, this was good.
That didn't quite have a winner when Ludwig Kaiser showed up and interfered.
No, Ludwig decided to stick his nose where it didn't belong. And well, here we are.
Here we are. So he beat down Sheamus for a bit. And then Bron Breakker was like, all right, cool. He speared Sheamus. And then he does another one. He speared Ludwig. And the camera angle for the running start and the spear, awesome.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Such a great angle. Such a great like camera shot.
Their camera work has been, aside from a few issues over the weekend, their camera work has been like really on point.
Yeah, all the new angles and everything for all the different shots. Then Breakker and Sammy were jawjacking one another. We had a shove involved. But yeah, the camera angle for Spear was really good. Everything about the match was really good. So we're going to get probably Bron Breakker, Sammy, Sheamus, Ludwig again. I'm good with this.
I'm fine with this. I like that they're beginning to build Ludwig. They're finding a nice fit for Bron Breakker because he seems to be having just a tad bit of difficulty fitting in on the main roster. So this is good that they're finding him something where he can kind of fit in and he can kind of feel like, you know, okay, all right, he feels more natural in the product because it's not just Braun Smash, right? it's okay, all right, they're actually finding something to do with him, which is important. So I like all of this. I like where all of this is headed. But yeah, the match between Braun and Sheamus, y'all, I would take that again. Because that was just two big beefy men slapping meat.
Yeah, it will be. We had a quick little thing between Karrion Kross challenging to one of the members of the New Day to have a match next week. He hoped it was Kingston because Kingston would rather have Woods in the back. Kofi accepted the challenge. Woods kind of looked a little annoyed, but you know he's going back as man, Kofi, as they have the match next week on Monday Night Raw. It was supposed to happen this week, but they pushed it to next week on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So the big thing coming out of the PLE was Drew McIntyre. And what happened with CM Punk? So about halfway through the show, Drew McIntyre comes out. He looks very pissed off, very annoyed. He goes, "I can't do this anymore. Screw this company. I quit." Adam Pearce tried talking him out of it. Triple H tried talking him out of it. And then we saw more footage of Adam Pearce trying to talk him into not quitting. But appears Drew McIntyre has quit. WWE. He's gone dark on the social medias.
Which means I can ship post again. Yay.
So Drew McIntyre, for now, is gone from WWE.
But I think there might be three other letters that could be in his future.
TNA.
TNA. He did express an interest in going over there, and well, that would be a good place for Drew to go until he's ready to seek his revenge against CM Punk. Or he could be trying to draw Punk out, because obviously, you know, they're going to be in Chicago on Friday. So that's a good place to roll up and beat somebody down. Especially if Punk's supposed to be the babyface and Drew's supposed to be the heel.
So what this whole thing does is a couple of things. One, it says, hey, Drew McIntyre and CM Punk is not happening at Money in the Bank. Because the big thing on Friday is CM Punk's going to say he's cleared. But he'll have mm-hmm. no direction because Drew quit. You could postpone the match because this is SummerSlam. This is a big SummerSlam main event of CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. So eventually Drew will come back. Does the fact they have a relationship with TNA help where they could, technically Drew could show up? Yes, I don't know if he will. But if there's an opportunity to work an angle like that, they at least have a promotion that they can do something with.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, it will be a perfect SummerSlam match. But so this buys it time where there's no expectation to put Drew in Money in the Bank. He quit. They're not going to put Punk in the Money in the Bank ladder match. He has no need. He's just going to be cleared. He's not going to be in Money in the Bank unless they want to put him in there and Drew screws him. I don't see CM Punk working a ladder match. But
I wouldn't put Punk in a ladder match. Like, just considering how, at this point, one could consider him fragile, I would be very cautious about putting him in a ladder match, or at least limiting him in terms of what he can do, which he's not going to accept. I can see Drew returning the favor to Punk and screwing him over in some manner just to send the message of, yeah, no, F you. Like, I see the way I see this going is basically Drew pulling the same thing of where he shows up as the ref and he screws over Punk for something. And that's what, like, kicks off the feud. So I don't know what that would be. I don't think you can put Punk in a world title match that fast, but maybe you could with building Money in the Bank, but it seems like they're going somewhere else with Damian for right now. So let's just see what they do with this, because it would be a really good, really good match between the two. So, and a really fantastic feud. So let's see what they do.
Speaking of, Monday Night Raw opened with the surprise appearance of Seth freaking Rollins.
And oh, was he dripping.
He was. He welcomed everyone to Monday Night Rollins. He's back. He missed the fans. He thanked them all. He said he's cutting Chase. He was back for one reason. He wants to be the very best, the greatest of all time to ever do it. But he can't do it without being the world heavyweight champion. He said that Money in the Bank is only a few short weeks away, and well, you know, I could just enter that match and win Money in the Bank before he could continue. Out came Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest. Priest said he was happy to see him. He wasn't being sarcastic. He wanted to be the first one out to say hello. It's good to have him back. Priest said he meant it with respectfully when he said he wanted to cash in the Money in the Bank on Rollins. He said it is the All Rise show, not Monday Night Rollins, though. Rollins said he liked him and Priest are a lot alike because they made their names in groups, you know, Judgment Day and the greatest group of all time, The Shield. And they both cashed in Money in the Bank contracts and won their first world titles at WrestleMania. The one thing that separates them, at some point, I grew a set. He said he wanted to be the greatest of all time and realized at some point he needed to stand on his own 2 feet. Rollins asked Priest what he wanted his legacy to be. One of the greatest of all time or just a footnote? Priest said it was a fair question. He gets it. Priest said he was Rollins' first challenger when he won the world title. You got me better that night. But times have changed. People said he thought he would forfeit the title due to what happened to his leg at Clash at Castle. But instead, he's still here. He's still standing. And he challenged Seth Rollins to a match for the World Heavyweight title at Money in the Bank. No ladders, no nothing. If you want a shot, face me at Money in the Bank. He's like, there's no... Rollins was, what's the catch? There was no catch. It's simple. You and me, you want it, you got it. Rollins is like, if that's that simple, I accept your challenge. And it was made official. Seth Rollins, Damian Priest, one-on-one for the World Heavyweight title at Money in the Bank.
There were people who were not happy about this. I'm not one of them.
Who's unhappy about this? Why would people be unhappy?
Seth comes back, automatically gets title shot, LOL.
I mean, it's rematches for titles. It's kind of a thing.
This will be a good match for Damian. It will be a great match for Seth, obviously, but it will be a good match for Damian because it will continue to add credibility to his reign. It also could be that he's maybe not thinking big picture, depending on where this match is placed on the card, because it's Money in the Bank. And cash-ins can happen same night.
They could. Anything.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
So this, I like this. This was good. It's a way to protect Seth and keep Seth from doing something stupid is the best way I can describe it. Because at this point, Seth is another one. He does not need to do a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
Unless just for stupidity's sake and then go off. But like, nobody's going to stop you. But there's no reason. There is no reason at all to have Seth in a ladder match. He's just recovering from surgery. He's coming off IR. Put him in something that's going to be relatively safe. You also have Damian, who thank God is okay. But may have tweaked his knee a little bit. So it's something that it gives them both additional time to recover and heal because the pay-per-view is not for a few weeks. But you can build towards a match in the meantime. Because Seth doesn't necessarily have to wrestle. Damian doesn't necessarily have to wrestle. You can have them get in like a few physical confrontations. And with all the drama going on in Judgment Day, well, that will also keep Damian distracted.
Yeah.
So Seth being the... architect that we know him to be and being the master strategist, well, will he take advantage of that? We'll have to see.
Yeah. So the big story again, Monday Night Raw ended with the Wyatt Six debuting to close out the show.
And just to reiterate, a fantastic debut.
A very fantastic Grand Slam home run of a debut, setting the stage for what possibly could come. But that was Monday Night Raw.
Woo-hoo!
This Thursday, we're talking Clash at the Castle.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll be reviewing Clash at the Castle and our thoughts, feelings, and opinions on the show. You don't want to miss it. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Friday night, GM Battles. Producer versus the intern in WWE 2K24. 10 p.m.
Fight,
Eastern.
Fight, 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 fight.
As things continue on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's game night. Featuring Goff with Friends, I think, again. Maybe we'll do Goff one more time. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out as we go. Followed by CB Raider Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, it's WTR Fantasy Draft on WTR Sunday night. 95%. Sure. If not, they'll talk about something. It's WTR Sunday, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern. That Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code ROCKSUCK or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, L-E-N-S-W-D. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. You can also follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@SymbolLinzWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Linz Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for The Rock, and right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, along the airwaves, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.